Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradford. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I like science, so that's why I brought my slinky.
Now, I think he's the future of, like, sports.
You can never have enough slinkies in the world. You never know when you might need one.
When he's in the booth on EI, I love it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Slinky challenge. Science. Here we go.
It kind of annoys me sometimes that, like, Brad Fro, he's not, like, in that upper echelon of EEI characters, but I think he should be. But take Wiggy to the
I'm a fan of Wiggy, too, but
everyone loves Wiggy. I like Reamer.
On Sports Radio, WEEI.
Well, we've had a nice run here on the program, Rob, but I have one prediction for the remainder of the summer.
Okay.
Me, you, and the great Jermaine Wiggins will not be together again for another show. I think that's it.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's it for us.
Well, what, you know,
Wiggy's out this week. I'm here like all but 2 weeks.
My backpack is taking the place of Jermaine Wiggins.
About as insightful, so.
Ooh.
There you go. No,
I'm just kidding. And he was. What are you saying? Just kidding. First of all,
we play nice here.
There's a lot to pick through. There's a lot to get to today.
You look nice. Thanks for dressing up.
Wow.
Live from our WEI Ford Clubhouse studios, by the way. Fenway Park, Red Sox, Jays. Can the Red Sox take a series? Lots to pick through from last night.
Yeah, there's a lot to pick
through.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
First of all, I do a little behind the scenes.
Sure.
I do the read for the right window, the top of the hour right window.
I did it.
No,
you just heard me.
I know. I did it, and it was excellent. I had my name first in the show. Right, John? Correct? John Anderson?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, that's the improper
marketing. Can we play both of them to see which one people like? And then Reamer comes in. Reamer comes in and said, can I do it? I'm like, why do you want to do it?
I'm the host of the show, I should do the top of the hour reads.
There's a reason why this show is so highly rated, because we are honest. And
we're egalitarian. I thought you were going to go with that.
Sure.
We split the hosting duties evenly.
So as you heard from Will Noonan, that clip from...
Okay,
Will,
so that was
Hold on.
Sure.
That clip was from Will Noonan, and he said, I am the future of sports. Maybe sports broadcasting.
Just in sports.
I did the read, and then you come in and said, I have to do the read. I said, why do you want to do the read? Because I can't let anyone know that I was late.
Well, I wasn't late. I was here early.
I know. So what's the big deal? So let's play.
Because I'm the host, and I should be kicking off the show with the right window read. That's why.
Is that right?
I met with a consultant a couple weeks ago. Said the host always needs to set the table.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's play both of them. John, you got both of them there?
This hour, Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo is brought to you by Right Window.
And here's Rob's.
Hell yeah.
All right, you ready? 3, 2, 1. This hour of Bradfo, Wiggy, and Reamer brought to you by our great friends at Right Window. Oh, my God.
Mine was way better.
How do you think Right Window...
They can't play that. 3, 2, 1.
What a pro I am. That is why I'm the future of sports broadcasting.
They can't play that, Robin. By the way, why are you putting my name last? Bradfo, Wiggy, and Reamer, what are you talking about?
Because you weren't here.
Well, Jermaine isn't here at all.
I know.
At least I showed up.
I could have put you as a tie for last.
I don't know. You should have put me first. The host has to lead off the show, and the host name is first. That's why I believe the show is technically called the Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo show.
So listen, I'm here to build you up. You said I look nice. I am here to build you up.
Thank you, Rob.
And as you heard in the open, Will Noonan, a good friend of ours, who has a great podcast.
I've never met him, but he's a good supporter. He's a member of Team Reamer for sure.
One of the finest comedians in Boston. But that's what I found this podcast. Not only did he talk about how awesome I am, but he talked about, because you're always talking about how everyone hates you, right?
Now, the Team Reamer is out there. I've said Team Reamer is a silent majority.
But he says, he comes out on this highly rated podcast and says, you know who I like? I like Alex Reamer.
Of course, yeah. I'm the only thing interesting here these
Wait,
days.
I like
stir
Reamer.
The pot like crazy.
No one likes Reamer. I like Reamer.
Nice.
People don't like Reamer at all.
Because that's what's funny about him, I think, is he's kind of like the millennial voice amongst these like tons of old...
Good morning, everybody.
Missed that one.
Are we in delay now? What do we do? Tap dance for 15, 20 seconds? Verbally tap dance?
All right.
That's a good podcast. Are they taking bong rips as they do the show? Sounds like it has that kind of atmosphere.
As we know, the best podcasts are when you're eating, drinking, or other.
That's my kind of show. Yeah, I don't give an F. I don't give a bleep. No doubt about it. I am very brave. I mean, I've said, you know, you go Nelson Mandela, Dr. King, but then I'm right up there, at least top three, top five at the worst, Rob, with what I do here.
You call the Globe managing editor.
I do, yes. Hello, Boston Globe. I have a question for you.
How did that go down?
I emailed the Boston Globe managing editor, Jennifer Peter, asking why they have not serviced, to quote the great Rob Bradford, the Ortiz allegations about his alleged affair with that Maria Garcia, the Dominican vlogger who's reportedly involved with the drug king, Daily Mail, New York Post, New York Daily News, other outlets have surfaced that report. Boston Globe has not. So I simply asked Jennifer Peter via email on Friday, Rob, why the Globe has not covered that portion of the story. And she wrote back, "We've obviously seen the same stories you have, but we don't surface rumors. We do reporting, which is ongoing in this case." So
I don't get that.
The Globe does reporting, like, Rob. No rumor mongering.
I applaud them for doing reporting. You go back to the Hanley Ramirez thing and... You know, where...
it's about the one-year anniversary of that, by the way. June last year.
Yeah, past. Oh, okay. Yeah, we already went down that road.
Well, I missed the celebration.
That was early June.
I missed the celebration.
Well, there you go. Where, it was a parade. It was right after the gay pride and right after
it
the straight pride.
It was my favorite.
Yes. But, you know, so to their credit, in that case, I think it was 2 days later, they write a story off of the reports, which weren't even written reports. They were... this report on radio, you know, Collins.
Well, Michelle McPhee called into a couple shows had multiple stories, but
right. But you know, you would agree, to the Globe's credit, you know, they followed up on it and they addressed it. Now, the problem with this is that now it's been a little while. It's been a couple of weeks now. There's nothing
Ortiz
wrong.
Ortiz you're talking about.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong. If you're the Globe, what is the harm in just saying, hey, you know, this has been published here and we can't corroborate it, and so it's a sentence in a story. We're not saying that this is true.
You just attributed, say, the Daily Mail reports or New York Post, what have you.
There's the two outlets right there. They are written and they are out there, and you don't have to say that they are accurate. You don't have to say that we believe them. We can say, hey, you know what? We're going to follow up on them. But just to, and the Globe has done this before where, you know, I've written stories where it's like, you know, you aren't acknowledging this story for 3 days.
Well, the Globe does that, and it's not real news to the Boston Globe has that. They're not always great at crediting. But I will say this to defend the Globe in this case. You know, I bet you they have much higher source standards than the Daily Mail, right?
There's no question.
So, you know, it is possible that they obviously are aware of the rumors and they just haven't verified it to their satisfaction, you know, because right now what we have with this Maria Garcia is we have the $85,000 Lexus that Ortiz bought her the day before the shooting. We have the video of her in an altercation with members of Ortiz's entourage in the hospital emergency room the night of the shooting. Definitely coincidental, definitely strange, but on their own, I don't know if those warrant any inclusion in a story unless you do more digging. And the Globe, you know, the managing editor told me yesterday, just doesn't feel like they verified it enough. Whether you believe it, I mean, that's what they're saying.
But my point, and I'm with you on everything. My point is that there's nothing wrong where if you have a couple outlets and it's out there, in these outlets, and you can say what you want about the Daily Mail. What was it, New York Post as well?
Yeah, New York Post, Daily News had it too. I mean, the Globe didn't run with a lot of the Daily Mail Hernandez stuff a couple years ago. They were having all those salacious rumors about Hernandez's sex life, etc. And the Globe didn't really run with any of it.
Sure.
2 years ago. They did with the Spotlight series, but they did their own reporting.
Yeah, and like I said, to go back to the Hanley Ramirez thing, I applaud them for that they dug in on it. They tried to find, they had the report. It seemed like a pretty detailed report and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get this far in the game, there's nothing wrong with throwing a sentence in there.
Right.
Once again, you're not saying that it has to be that way.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway. Listen, the biggest takeaway here is Alex Reamer is the best reporter around.
Well, I'm just
because you are emailing managing editors on a Saturday.
Yes.
Which, by the way, talk about WEI.com.
Always
holy
working.
Holy mackerel, always working.
We call that shoe leather journalism.
You're emailing managing editors of the Globe on a Saturday,
Hello,
a beautiful Saturday.
How
I'm driving down to Pawtucket for Stephen Wright and
how
driving
was, how was
back
that?
to Fenway.
How is Stephen Wright? How's he doing these days?
He was very honest. I mean, I think this is one of the biggest topics, not only because the bullpen hasn't been good, but because, you know, you have a guy coming back from PED suspension. And what was my takeaway from, and you can find the podcast up on our site right now.
WEI.radio.com.
Yeah, whatever. But Brad Foe Show episode 108, I vowed to recommit to it, and I think I've done that in fine fashion.
Excellent.
But he talked about very honestly about walking into that clubhouse again and addressing the team. And, you know, this is one of the things that maybe, you know, we don't factor in. Obviously, the public is going to think what they're going to think, going back to his domestic abuse thing.
Right.
And then you have this. I already, you know, I've tweeted this out, and you already get the people, and that's fair, understandable. But it's a different dynamic. You walk into that clubhouse. A clubhouse has been together for all year long. What they feel,
the PawSox, you're talking.
No. Yes, I don't think the PawSox care. But you go into that, and he's like, "Listen, you know, of course I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be nervous about walking into that clubhouse," because he addressed the team back in spring training. But still, like, I don't think that...
Was there a stigma against players if you're suspended for PEDs? Do players look down upon you?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so. I've been to more locker rooms
than you. Nobody knows Major League Baseball locker rooms.
But why would they? I guess because a few of them do it now.
Because the perception of these guys is that a lot of them feel like they're losing money and losing statistics because they're performing against guys. When Melky Cabrera gets popped, like, every pitcher that gave up a home run to him, they're saying, what?
Well, unless they're taking stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But if they're not, yeah, but they're on Stephen Wright's team. His teammates play with him. So, I mean,
I understand why he's quote-unquote nervous, and I understand why there's trepidation. I understand how awkward he said it was the toughest thing he's had to do, get in front of his teammates, all of that. But the way baseball is, usually, you know this, Alex, is that, you know, it comes and it goes. Like, when a guy gets in trouble,
like life, really.
If he performs, like, you know, if you come in here after all the things that you've been through, and then you've come back here and you performed, you know, we accept you. We open you.
It's a begrudging acceptance. But
what
sure.
are you talking about
with me? But sure,
he was very adamant in his.
I know. I'm saying he's saying it's a begrudging acceptance.
Sorry,
for
I
me
can't get past
on these airwaves.
I don't care what he said about you. He said I was a future of sports.
Just sports in general.
Just sports.
And I love when callers will say, like, Reema, just because you're gay, and he'll be like, yeah, I'm gay.
Yeah,
and he says it in a way that, like he's like, show? Listen, I'm gay, okay. Means nothing here on EI.
It's a great show.
I want to be on this show.
It's a great time.
I am officially saying,
Will Noonan
am I
show.
Allowed to go on the Will Noonan podcast? Or will I break my contract?
Why?
Well, I mean, I've gotten in trouble in the past for doing unsolicited media appearances.
Well,
two years ago, the Comcast call. I mean, they were very offended by that. I don't want to get in trouble.
I'm encouraging you to go on the Will Noonan podcast.
All right, okay. So I have it from one of my bosses to go on the Will Noonan show.
Yes,
let's see what the program director thinks. You know, maybe we have a podcast branch.
Here, as your boss, I am telling you to go on the Will Noonan podcast.
All right.
That's not a request.
I want to go in studio. I'm telling you. They're taking bong hits or something. They are doing something fun.
What are you talking about? Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. They're breaking down me putting...
guys.
Doing the slinky down the stairs in Target Field.
Now, that is you are a content machine, I think.
Is that, do I get a media star?
You might get a media star off the hold. Yeah, the Bradfield brand, I think, has never been hotter.
Right,
it is red hot.
I do a little bit of everything. The
down
slinkies,
in Minnesota.
The PEDs.
Although the debate, the Wiggy Mark James debate with me.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't get me going. So I was in with the morning guys on Thursday, and I said, wait a minute, this thing is allegedly 5 days away. I haven't heard anything about it. Curtis told me that he pumped the brakes on it. He said, let's hold up, reset. Let's wait till we have this correct. He said you were totally on board with his idea to postpone it. Doesn't sound like that's factual.
Reset that, Ken. Thank you. Here's the thing. By the way, Ken Laird's going to call in later today. You know why?
About what?
Because he's at the beach.
Great.
I feel like that's so odd.
Can that pale white skin take
the sun?
Redhead.
We want an update on his health at the
Ken
beach.
Ken at the beach is strange.
I know. That's why he's going to call in.
Ken had a shirt on. Strange look. Ken hides the pounds.
Definitely
a little heavier.
If you see the Laird family at Cranes Beach today in Ipswich, please take a photo. And tweet at WEI.
Yes, tweet us at WEI, at Bradfo, at Alex Reamer.
So to go back to, I'm glad you brought this up.
Thank you.
The debate that we were we were professing our love for last week, and we were announcing this.
Big announcement for you.
Yeah. And so he's half right. I'm okay with them pushing it back a little bit to get organized, much like we did with the one-on-one game.
Right.
But that was the only with the idea that we are going to do promotion and we're going to have fun with it leading into
the
whenever
debate.
It runs.
Yes. Well, of course. That's the battle with all these things. You got to drum up the excitement.
But since they decided that, since they decided that, that this was going to be pushed back to whenever, 2 months from now, you haven't heard word one. And we're back to no creativity.
Wow.
Zero. And, I mean...
So you're upset. You
this
think
is well. This is their prerogative. This is their prerogative to not do it.
To not be creative.
To not be creative and aren't entertaining.
So you're saying that Ken Laird and Chris Curtis,
no,
are not creative, not entertaining. Not only are they, they want to be that way.
I did not say that.
Oh, well, you kind of are.
No, I think that Ken absolutely wanted to do this.
So you're blaming Curtis.
Curtis kind of wanted to do it.
Okay.
I think the people who help organize it from a top weren't really getting behind
David Field.
David Field.
Do I have to have a petition in Philadelphia myself?
Exactly. So it's, hey, listen, we know what the impact of the one-on-one game had, right?
Unbelievable.
It changed the perception of WEF.
Forever.
It did. And then, boom, it ended. And so I come up with the next great idea. You're on board. Wiggy's on board.
I'll crush them and finally show my rightful place for morning show supremacy.
Everyone said it was a good idea, and it is a good idea. And I'll let's just say this. I'll believe it when I see it 2 months from now. Because it just died. Where we had all the momentum, we had all the conversation, we had you ready to go do a debate coach, we had Wiggy meeting up with Sean Spicer.
Oh, I don't need debate coach. I'm good enough as is.
We had Mark James.
Doing God knows what.
Doing whatever he does, Mark James does. We had all of it.
Making up a sober cast.
I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. There is a reason why this is the highest rated show in the history of Sunday mornings.
They'll call you on that, Rob. I mean, don't be peddling fake news. Look that up.
Okay, good. Look it up. There is a reason this is the highest rated show in Sunday morning history.
Yeah, listen, I'm totally on board with it, but, you know, their argument would be, it's, you know, let's say we have it at the end of summer, 2 months away. We still have plenty of time for the buildup, plenty of time to set the table.
Yeah, I agree with that, but my problem is that, number one, we had momentum, so if you're going to do it, keep doing something to keep the conversation going.
Bring it up.
And number two, do you actually believe in 2 months that they're going to do this?
Yes. No, the basketball game got together. Rob, if you stay on this...
No, because we stayed on the basketball game.
We do things, absolutely. We do things. The debate will happen end of summer, early fall, set up for the fall. Exactly. Going to be a big fall book.
We do things.
Exactly. And I am ready to crush Jermaine and Mark James. It's not even going to be a contest. They'll be crawling out of the... calling off the debate stage. I'm going to whip them so much.
But see the passion that you're talking about with this? This should be going on for the next month. We should do all kinds of things, but we're not going to because everyone, we'll just do this a couple months
from now. But we're empowered to do it because we are together every Sunday.
Yeah, well,
so we have
sure.
the power to hype this up. Me and Wiggy both on the morning show. You're going to be on the morning show a lot this summer as well. Yes, with Jerry. Jerry requested just host with
you. Oh, really?
Yes, yes.
There you go.
Rob and Jerry. So, I mean, I think it's within our power to continue to push this thing and get a clamoring for it like you guys created with the basketball game. That's what it's about, Rob.
Sure. Listen, Alex, I'll do everything in my power to keep this baby going.
You're an idea man. I mean,
and come up with the next great idea.
You've always been an idea man, but you've been especially on the idea kick the last couple months.
Well, because, you know, I want to make it clear that, what do you say? What's our logo?
We do things.
W-E-I.
Right.
We do things.
Right, or I say,
we're not
know,
sitting around. We've sat around too long.
Can't just roll out the balls and play anymore.
Exactly. And you know as well as I do, that's been a problem here, right?
Yes.
Just rolling out the balls and play.
Turn on the mics.
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's go.
What do we got?
All right. We do things.
Bullpen.
That's what
trouble.
We're doing. And we're doing things this morning. Jermaine Wiggins has chosen not to be
what's,
here.
What's Wiggy? What's his excuse for this?
He has no excuse.
Just doesn't feel like showing up?
By the way, later in the show, you know how we came up with the... we found the scouting reports for him?
Yes.
For the draft?
Yes, yes, yes. One of my favorite segments
we've done. I have a friend of a friend of a friend who worked for the Jets.
Friend of a friend of a friend. Okay.
And
so like
worked for the Jets.
Separation.
And they uncovered his exit interview.
No way.
And there, just to say that there is a sign that something like this would have happened.
What, that he'll just miss the show?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Why? Was it attendance?
Lack of commitment.
Lack of commitment. Okay, yeah. Interesting. I mean, Wiggy's...
Losing focus.
One thing I have heard from people worked with Wiggy at other radio stations, smaller sports outlets prior to him coming here, is that he would not show up to work after the Patriots lose. Like after the Patriots lost a game, he would no show. Yes, he would no show the programs.
What organization?
AM up the dial, 1510. I know some people there during Wiggy's brief stint there years ago. A fleeting stint he had there. And I heard, yes, he did not show up for shows after the Patriots
lost.
After they lost, yeah. Which is why I thought a couple weeks ago, once the Bruins lost Game 7, there was a chance that he wouldn't show up for the morning show that day. I did think that, and I was surprised when he showed up.
But, you know, well, you reach a point where you have to figure out is someone committed or not.
Yeah.
And it's is there a better day than this?
I was here at 8:58 today.
When Kerosene Ken Laird is going to the beach, you know it's a very nice day. So
yes, that's the sign.
It's a beautiful
so
day
nice out. Our first nice day of the year.
This
by
is
the way.
This is the Sunday morning. This is our
finally
show.
Nice.
This is what we listen, Alex. I can't be a hypocrite. I get on you last week for saying, "Hey, are you committed
I'm
or not?"
Ready.
And you're here.
I'm here.
You.
I've only missed two shows so far.
You've
missed a couple.
No, I know I haven't. I missed one for work.
Wiggy's missed now more than either of us, I think.
So you have shown that you are committed to this show.
Of course.
After we ridiculed you, after we got on you, after you were put under the microscope.
That's me.
And Wiggy, this was the test. The first really, really good Sunday morning. Wiggy, why aren't you here? Oh, no excuse. All he said, oh, you're going to be in London. Well, here's the thing, Alex. There's no show next week.
Yeah, by the way, the guy, Jermaine Wiggins, killing you last week for taking your first vacation in 10 years. We should mention that as well, the hypocrisy of this. The hypocrisy of this no-show, Rob, that you were in London. He's killing you for that, saying, I can't believe you. Blog from London. By the way, I can't even access WEA.com in London, so that's going to be interesting if you're covering the Sox. But and now he's not here. Here this Sunday.
So why did Mike Minansky just text me? He just said John Anderson hung up on him. John, did you just hang up
John,
on Mike?
What's going on here, John? John Anderson, hello.
What's going on?
Uh-oh, he's busy.
Are we still on the air?
We are still. Wait, I don't know. We're in the bizarre.
We've got a guest on the hotline. You're on the air, sir.
Bradford, you are so fake news. This is unbelievable.
Muttman, what's happening?
Let's hear it.
Rob is complaining about this debate and how it's not going to happen. I called Rob, wouldn't I call you Monday, Rob? The day after you announced this? And you
as,
so
I was, as I was getting my cab, yes.
Oh, you were so pouty, so I trust. I'm not in charge of it. I'm not the point man.
Right, exactly. What's wrong about that?
Because you're acting like it's not going to happen when
it's not going to happen, Mike.
I called you to start the momentum on it. And you basically wanted hands off.
No. Mutt, come on. Get your stuff together.
I'm backing away now.
Get your stuff together, Mutt. What I said to you was that I have nothing to do with it. I gave you the idea. I promoted
it
on the
idea.
Sunday. It is your show,
you're
Mutt.
The idea,
Mutt,
you
it is,
whoa, you
it is your show. It is your responsibility.
One at a time, please. John Dennis is going to turn us off.
Mutt, it is your show. It is your responsibility. As I said on that phone call, now I am taking a step back. Am I frustrated that it is died because I take a step back? Absolutely. There's nothing.
It didn't just die. We want to do it right, Rob, not rush it and do it and say,
right.
Hey,
have you talked about it? Have you talked about it since?
When I mentioned it on Thursday,
we're going to talk about it every single day.
We had, when the guys who were involved in it were in, James was not in this week, but Reamer was there, we talked about it. Wiggy was there, we talked about it. It's going to happen, Rob. The question is,
I don't believe that.
See, where?
Prove me wrong.
Where and when?
How about encore?
Prove me, much like, you know, we talked about the wrestling match. We talked about the Reamer versus Wiggins.
I am more into
race?
The debate than the wrestling match, I'm going to be honest
with you. Of course you are.
I'm much more into Mutt, are you
going to still wear a cup?
It's hanging up in the morning show office. Are we going axe throwing this week, Mutt?
Do you want to do it next Sunday? So you're with me. So Jerry's off for like 6 weeks starting like July.
Right? If you want to hear Jerry Callahan, find somewhere besides the radio.
Yeah, enjoy Monday through Thursday this week. So we want to do it next Sunday so we can talk about it on Monday. We got to get the video guys involved. Like, I was driving today thinking about how I want to open it. I want to open it with a cutscene of you running against Wiggy. I want to have you throwing the baseball. And now it's Reamer Athletics axe throwing in Somerville.
I'm totally
into
it.
Before the debate.
Good. And there are Brewskis involved as well, right? With the axe throwing. That's my job.
Yes. Definitely. Of course. Good.
Mutt, did you hear our new slogan at WEI?
We do things.
We do things.
Do you like it? Yes.
We do things on video. So, Rob, stop stop lying.
No, I think I've exposed your phone call, but that's okay.
The Mutt Rob feud. If you guys, you guys had any cooling of the ice? Now that makes no sense whatsoever. Cooling of the tensions.
Did you hear? He calls me all the time. He called me the other day.
Yeah, the Rob Mutt relationship remains very interesting. Mutt, last question. Do you think that Rob should do a show with Jerry Alone this summer?
I would like to announce on the air, I will donate $100 to the charity of choice. I'll start the GoFundMe to make that happen. Yes, that would be the greatest show of all time. Two guys who really have great chemistry, really respect each other. Yes, that show should happen.
Better chemistry than you and Jerry?
Yeah. It's a high bar.
Is that possible? I mean, the future is unlimited, as Jerry Callahan once said.
All right, Mutt Man, thank you.
See you, Mutt.
I'll be listening. Goodbye.
We're all settled. That was settled. There's Mike Manansky. It shows up as Alex Cora on our call screener when he calls in. Has he done a prank call before, or is he sharing a phone with Alex Cora?
I don't know.
Mike Manansky.
It doesn't really?
Yeah, it just says
Alex Cora every time, and I don't know why. One time I answered it thinking it was Alex Cora, and it was Mark James.
Why did you hang up on him initially?
It was an accident.
Oh, sure. Okay.
No, it was totally on purpose.
You had to make Mutt work for his phone calls.
So Mutt is adamantly saying.
Good.
Vehemently saying.
Good.
In fact, that
however,
the debate
I
will
have
happen.
To motivate people, Reamer. However, I have
your
to motivate.
Your chief motivator,
people.
Rob.
Whatever I need to do.
Not just editor in chief, motivator in chief. If you want to join the program like the great Mike Manansky just did, give us a call at 617-779-7937. We're live from our Ford Clubhouse studio, Fenway Park. Reamer, Bradfo, no Jermaine Wiggins. Lots to get into today, Rob, on the sports side of things here. Let's roll our sleeves up. Dissect the issues here. The Red Sox thought they were back. They're not back. One of the worst losses, if not the worst loss of the year, yesterday. And also the Celtics, Rob. There's been a lot of Celtics talk the last couple weeks.
Oh, there has been?
Yes, they'll continue to be. But I have one question I want to state to Celtics fans, okay? How about now we start looking inward? Rather than complaining about, why does Kyrie Irving not want to play here? Why would Al Horford leave here? Let's talk about why.
Why
do these players not want to stay here?
When they drafted Romeo Langford,
yes.
My immediate reaction was, I feel like I need to look inward.
We all need to look inward, and also we need to look inward at the David Ortiz story as well. Week 2 coming up, Boston Globe, I had a very long chat with their managing editor as well, shoe leather journalism, pounding on the door till they would finally let me in. They did. We'll do that all next, but first let's grab a trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Reamer and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I think it's always going to be a work in progress. I think, you know, the respect is going to have to earn back. The trust is going to have to be earned back, you know, and that's something that I, you know, advocated that I'm going to spend the rest of my life, you know, earning the respect back, not just from them, but anybody that it has affected negatively, which is everybody that I know personally. But I really think that the vibe was like, at least, you know, I got up there, I talked to them, you know, there were some questions that were asked. I try to answer them as best as I possibly could, and I told them again. I was like, if anybody ever has a question about anything, I was like, I'm an open book to them in private. I definitely don't want to get too public with everything because it's a family, you know, and I feel like that has to stay. There's certain things that just need to stay within the clubhouse. But I felt like it was a definitely big weight off my shoulders, you know. But it was hard, man. I mean, it was probably the hardest thing to do.
That's Stephen Wright on the Bradfo Show podcast from Pawtucket.
Good stuff, huh?
Very good stuff.
More where that came from.
We have a Red Sox player joining us before we
do.
Sign off at noon.
Confirmation.
Another reliever. Another pitcher.
Yes.
Swingman.
Yes. But Stephen Wright, and we got ahead of the curve because he's going to be coming back on Tuesday. And after that bullpen implosion yesterday, like, all the other stuff aside, they need a guy like Stephen Wright, correct?
I mean, I don't know. Who says he's going to be any good?
We don't know. But so, you would need the possibility. He was really good last year when he pitched.
Oh, yeah. After his suspension, yeah.
Yes, but that's what I'm talking
about. He's
got to
be here for full season, my man. Let's go, Stephen.
He can't even be in the postseason. You know that.
That's right. As it should be.
But you need answers. And it's not an imperfect answer.
That's kind of sad, though. This is a team with the highest peril in baseball, highest peril again in franchise history, and you're relying on Stephen Wright for the answers.
I mean,
That's an indictment on the general manager, Dave Dombrowski.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Alex, I mean, going back to the offseason, Dave Dombrowski and Alex Cora were saying, who are the four guys you're going to pitch at the end of the game? Brazier, Barnes, Stephen Wright, and Tyler
Thornburg. Brazier, by the way, can we say that Ryan Brazier is what he was prior to last season? Like, last year was an anomaly. It happens. Guy in his early 30s, you have a breakout season. A short special reliever, short sample size.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Why? Rob, he stinks. It's terrible.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Can't find the plate.
Nah.
He's awful.
Yes, he walked two guys
yeah,
yesterday.
With the bases loaded.
He still can be a useful guy.
Really,
in
so if Ryan Brazier comes out in the eighth or ninth inning, you feel good about it?
And
I don't feel good
right
about
now.
It. Yeah,
the guy that you were running out,
the guy
like
we've
yesterday?
Seen for the most part this year.
No, but
he's not good.
Could he be a seventh inning guy? Could he be a useful guy? Absolutely. But yeah. The problem, going back to what you're talking about, this was the flaw in their whole plan, where they said, here are the four guys, and two of them, you can say what you want about Brazier, you can say what you want about Barnes lately, but they have contributed at points this year. The other two, you have Stephen Wright, who was popped for the PED thing, and then you have Tyler Thornburg, who I don't even know if he's going to ever be back on this team again.
Please no.
And so, but those are the four guys they named, and they got very fortunate in Walden and Workman stepping up and Henry stepping up. That's great.
Well, and Thornburg too is like Belichick. One thing that we always give Belichick credit for is that he knows when to cut bait with guys. Even if he gives up assets to get somebody, if it's not working out, he's cutting bait. He cuts second round picks after 2 years sometimes. Thornburg has gotten so much run here because Dombrowski is being obstinate with him. He stinks. He's never been good here. Enough. No more Tyler Thornburg. No reason to keep running him out there. I'm glad he's gone. Probably gone forever from the Red Sox. But Rob, they just don't have enough guys. That's as simple as that. I mean, Matt Barnes.
You don't have enough guys that can pitch when you need them to pitch.
But Matt Barnes too. Like, I saw the stat last night. Without a day of rest, ERA 8.64 year.
Yeah,
yes, and he has the most appearances in baseball in June. Brandon Workman second most. So, and these guys can't pitch every day.
And that they're reaping what they sow, Alex. Which is they're running these guys, the high leverage guys, out too much. And I'll come back to the Stephen Wright conversation. And you're right. You listen. This is imperfect. Forget about,
to say the least.
Forget about like addressing the team and the discomfort of the PED stuff and everything else. We're talking about a guy coming back from the knee issue, and he was good when he pitched last year. Go look at the numbers. He had like a one something ERA.
But he can't help you in the postseason, as you mentioned, even if you get
no,
there.
I don't really care. You just need someone now, if for no other reason, to be able to throw out there when it counts in a game and not have to run out the Matt Barnes and the Brandon Workmans as much as you are.
But such a small sample size with Stephen Wright in relief as well. He does not have a long proven track record of successful relief pitching in the major leagues. Rob, it just, Dombrowski put this team in a hole. Even if all went according to plan, they were still at least a guy short. I mean, everybody was saying into the year.
Yes, I agree. And I've said this all along, where you need to pay.
I mean, you can't blow games like this.
Sometimes you need to pay for certainty. And you can't just rely on, you can't just rely on projections. And that's what they've always got in trouble with this. And I was talking to someone the other day in baseball, a certain manager of a certain American League central team.
All right.
And we're talking about, hey, listen.
Perhaps a Rhode Island native?
Maybe.
A proud Italian from Rhode Island?
Maybe. Okay. But he's talking about we're talking about projection. How if you lean on projections like you did with John Lester when he left, that didn't work out. When you when David Ortiz left, you're projecting all these guys are going to get better. That didn't work out. And then with this bullpen, I think that you were relying on projection when you needed the guy. You need to pay for certainty at some point. Well, I'm not saying these other guys can't step up, but you need to pay for some sort of certainty.
You didn't have to pay that much. How much did the Yankees give Adam Ottavino?
Well, 3 years.
Yeah, but, I mean, so what? Yeah, wouldn't you do that?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
The way that he is. I mean, would you give Joe Kelly that for what he's doing? No.
No.
But you have to pick the right guy. Sure. But you have to pay for some certainty, whether it's... And you have to find the guy. Like, they've got Addison Reed. They got Brad Ziegler at the trade deadline. They could get one of these guys. But the problem is that those are the type of guys that you have to go into the year with. We say, hey, these are the guys we are paying for some certainty.
Right.
They might not blow you away, but you kind of know what they are.
And it was arrogance. I think what happened was they looked at what happened in October, and they said, eh, we're fine. We can lose our Hall of Fame closer, not replace him, and we're okay. But they're missing that. Their bullpen was so good last October, largely because of the starting pitchers who would pitch him.
Yeah, well, and the other part about it, Alex, is that they got very fortunate. I just said before, they were going into this year. Their plan was Tyler Thornburg and Stephen Wright. They got very fortunate that Brandon Workman, a guy who at the end of spring training a lot of people didn't think was going to make the team, Marcus Walden, a guy who didn't make the team, have stepped up and actually been
well.
Really, really good.
Right. And Lou's been saying this, and he's right. Like, if you look at this Red Sox bullpen, everyone's pitching to their level, more or less. And Marcus Walden's case, and Workman's case even, I think, pitching above what you could have expected from them this year. So it's just, you know, Ryan Brazier is Ryan Brazier. You know, I mean, Matt Barnes is Matt Barnes. You know, maybe he's the one guy who, as of late, you like to pitch better back-to-back days, but they were just, everyone knew they were short. They are short. And given how this farm system has been gutted, given how much they've given up to be at this point, we talk about the window is closing. Well, this is it. I mean, you're going to lose guys at the end of this year due to free agency. And Dombrowski put them in this year empty-handed in the bullpen like he did all those years in Detroit. I mean, this has been an Achilles heel for Dombrowski throughout his time as an executive, not building a bullpen.
And you look at a guy they traded, Ty Buttrey, in the Kinsler trade. I mean, this was one of the guys that actually really, I mean, he's been awesome for the Angels. So it comes back to being able to, it's all right, I guess, and this is what I was going to say with Rocco. Rocco's talking about how it's okay to project. He was with Tampa, and their whole world is off
projections.
No, but their whole world is off projections. You just have to project the right way. And in this case, they didn't do it. They didn't do it. They didn't project Tyler Buttrey to be what he was going to be. You didn't project the other guys that you were identifying as the key guys in the bullpen. And you really didn't even project that Workman and Walden and Hembree correctly because they exceeded your expectations.
Right.
So you have to.
Yeah, Hembree's another one.
Yeah. And could go back to Wright last year. So Wright pitched in 20 games. He had a 2.68 ERA. I mean, he was good. I mean, he was good as out of that role. And by the way, like, he had a 2.6 ERA despite having one game where he gave up 10 runs in 3 1/3 innings. I mean, he can be a valuable guy, but to get to this point and have to lean on a guy, like, you don't know what you're going to, you're right, you don't know what you're going to get. That's not the best construction for the team that with the highest payroll in baseball.
And this is the Red Sox. Last night was their seventh loss of the season when they're leading after seven innings. I mean, you're chasing all these teams. You can't survive like that, even against a bad American League, because these are still major league teams. Blue Jays, you know, they're going to be good, I think, next year. Not so much the case this year, but it's
Ooh,
just
look at you.
Yes, Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Speaking of projections.
I like it. I'm back in the
you're all in
with Red Sox mold. Yeah, I like what the Jays are building. I like what they're building.
Do you really?
I do. Yeah.
Wait, where are you picking them next
year?
Better
than Baltimore. I think they might leap over 500 next year. 84-85 wins. Yes.
Breaking.
And my man Alex Stroman on the mound today as well. Is he going to quick pitch the Red Sox
again?
Did you just
call him Alex Stroman?
Marcus Stroman.
Oh, I thought you called him.
I'm adopting him. Is he going to quick pitch the Sox again? Will there be an issue?
Who knows?
Are tensions running high?
Who knows? Maybe they'd be chanting quick pitch, quick pitch, quick
They're
pitch.
They're going to taunt Marcus Stroman.
I can't, you know, it's like, I just can't get riled up over the Blue Jays. I'm sorry. I can't, as much as I love the Blue Jays, as I picked them 10 straight years.
You wrote a book about the Blue Jays.
I sure did.
J.P. Ricciardi.
I was contractually obligated to pick them first place in 10 straight years.
I actually bought that book too, Chasing Steinbrenner.
Wait, you bought it, but you didn't read it?
I did. I read it.
Oh, and?
It was good.
There you go. Why are you laughing?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
That's my era of baseball. 2003, right there.
Oh, right. Sweet. It was made for made for your demographic.
That's when I was building my own baseball
team
with $40 million payrolls. I was 10 years old.
There you go.
Years
that
old.
Was the
yeah.
demographic for that book.
Exactly.
The 10-year-old baseball.
Was I the youngest person who read the book?
Mike Minansky also read it.
Muttman?
I think.
When he was 18, 19?
I think.
Is that the last book he read?
DJ Bean also read it. Yeah. I have three people who read it that I know.
There you go. That's Mutt attempting to read.
Yes. I think it spawned the podcast. We don't know who invented podcasts, whether it was you or Wiggy, but that was right around the time you started
I don't understand
podcast.
Wiggy's podcast. He was telling us last week it was a traveling podcast.
Well, when he can't identify exactly what he did the podcast on,
no, it's like,
I think it was the technical term with the thingamajig.
Right. You know, we did into the thing. Oh, okay. I understand now. 617-779-7937. So I am ringing the panic alarms here about the Red
sure.
Sox bullpen.
You know what
I'm
you
calling
should
on
really,
Dombrowski,
you know what
and you're sitting there, Red Sox apologist per usual,
yeah,
saying
sure.
Stephen Wright is the savior.
He is. He absolutely is. He'll be here on Tuesday. But the other panic alarm, or whatever your button, whatever you want to call it, which is the red hot take of Mark James, which I heard yesterday, the Mark James and Andy Hart show, talking a lot about Kyrie.
Much more mellow this week, the Mark James
yeah,
and Andy
but
Hart
that's,
show.
You know, like John, you can weigh on this. This is the M.O. of Mark.
Yes,
right. You what's the MO?
It sounded uncomfortable.
No, you know,
the MO is Mark rips all these people, and then when he has to work with them, they're like best friends after a week.
Although he'll always say that, you know, he went after Dale Arnold when he did that crossover a couple weeks ago. I'll give him credit there. And he did go
I've never heard anyone more nervous in a confrontation.
Mark just like his stammering.
And like Dale didn't even partake in that.
No, so. Dale has just no tolerance whatsoever for that. I listened a bit yesterday, very sporty and very like uncomfortable. You can tell
that sucked.
You can tell the tension is simmering there, and there will be another Scream Fest at one point.
I don't think Andy won't back away from it. I think Andy
wants it. I think.
Yeah,
we're also gonna get your review of Andy Hart. Live review on the air, perhaps.
Oh, nice.
Who knows what will happen? So we're going to come back and respond to Mark James, who has a wild Kyrie Irving take. 617-779-7937. It's Reamer, Bradfo, no Jermaine Wiggins, Sports Radio, WEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back to more of Bradford and Reamer on Sports Radio WEEI.
Maybe he'll join us. How about a three-man?
I don't do threesomes.
Oh.
Not what I heard.
I read it on text messages.
My new nickname for Brad Stevens is Brad Little, just like Grady Little, because neither one of them have won jack crap in Boston.
Right. I could have won a title with LeBron. Yeah. You could have won a title with LeBron.
Anybody could have.
When you say with LeBron, you didn't win the title. He did.
No, he did.
And I know Kyrie played great and made big shots, but the reality is LeBron is the focal point every single time he steps on the court. Every time.
This is why when I look at Allen Iverson, he's the answer. When I look at Kyrie Irving, he's the cancer. Period.
Oh, God. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I don't know if we should have played that one.
Oh, God. Those are some of the worst Mark James sobriquets in a long line of them. Oh, that's awful. The Kyrie Irving one is in a category by itself, what we just heard coming in. But Brad Stevens, is Brad Little? No, doesn't rhyme. It's not even trying anymore, basically. That is a white flag sobriquet from Mark James.
Was it awkward? So was it awkward yesterday, John? Like
we could tell that Andy in that cut was talking about the text message incident, and he brings that up often, and Mark with that uncomfortable and like nervous laughter. It's going to blow up again at one point. That's my prediction. Maybe even as soon as next week.
John's I read it on text messages.
John, was it awkward yesterday?
He doesn't produce.
They were down at Fenway.
Yeah. No,
so
no,
I was not in the room.
Yeah, but did it seem awkward? You listen to the whole show.
not really, because it's like I said earlier. Like Mark, he befriends people after 1 week, and then it's not awkward. They did national NBA talk for 4 hours, and
yeah, they went around the league. I saw Mark James did a PK Subban trade update as well, channeling his inner Dale Arnold, like the news ticker. Yeah,
I also found out Andy Hart has a boat at the end. He's like, I'm going to drink some beers on my boat.
Yeah,
he's the
Andy
only member of WEI.com that has a boat.
The listeners will be shocked to hear this. I am not a boat man.
You're not?
No, I don't fish. I fished once in my life.
Really?
It was very boring.
Wow. You very boring. Come out and fish with Josh Beckett myself.
I think I would have hated that.
Really?
I don't think Josh Beckett and I would have gotten along.
Oh, I think you would have gotten along.
You love Beckett, too. That's weird.
Oh, Beckett was great.
You're the only person who likes Josh Beckett.
That was not true.
Doesn't he have a reputation of being just a colossal a-hole?
To some people.
People hate Josh Beckett.
People loved him for a while.
People have tweeted that he's one of the most disdainful athletes they've ever covered.
Well, they're wrong. Number one. And number two, people loved him for a while.
Who do you love more, Beckett or Pedroia?
Equally.
Equally?
Equally. Yes.
How about we get Dustin Pedroia on the show? How about we have Dustin Pedroia co-host with us for a Sunday? He's not doing much.
Because we can't afford the ISDN line.
He used to be your radio partner.
He used to have a call-in.
Yeah, the laser show.
Yeah, every week.
I was around for that.
Think about that. Every.
Yeah.
So he had a call-in initially. It was for the weekend. It's for the weekend.
Hello, fans.
Well, look at it. It's the bride. It's a bachelorette party.
Oh, hey.
And you know what? So she's walking by the window and waving, and I wave, and she immediately turns and looks at you. No, I'm waving to you, Alex.
I look good today.
She is.
Did I shower? Did I not shower? That's a mystery. But I look good nonetheless.
Yeah, Pedroia had a weekly thing. First, it was on the Mutt and Bradford show.
I love the Mutt and Bradford show. Wasn't that called the WEI.com show? Very catchy title.
Literally a week. For a little.
Felger would show up once in a while, right?
Well, his
be like, oh, I forgot was, I was scheduled.
That was part
today.
Of his deal. He had to be on at least once in the weekend.
It's like I was eating pancakes but, and forgot.
Pedroia was on once every week with us, and then they said this is too valuable for the Mutt and Bradford show, so they put it on the Big Show.
Yes,
on Glenn's show.
Yes, I remember that.
And what chemistry that was!
Unbelievable,
Pedroia. Yes, it was. It was. And so he initially said, "You know what I want?" I said, "Well, what do you want to be paid for this?" And he said, "You know, I want to be paid this thing called Power Plate." And I'm like, "Power Plate sounds like two plates. You know, it's like you buy Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever. It's probably going to cost $100. Oh yeah, great. Ping pong paddles and power plates. Found out like thing was like $10,000. It's like one of these things that you like stand on and it vibrates while you lift.
How about like a gift card instead, Petey?
They were not happy when they found out
how
much.
How about a gift card to the 99?
Yeah. Those were the days.
It suits you just fine. How are the Stockyard?
Those were the days.
It suits you just fine.
Also, yeah, so also you have never been fishing?
I've never been fishing.
Oh, no, went fishing
I've been once, yeah. I mean, not really. Like, my dad or somebody was, like, helping me do it. I've never, like, gone on my own and done it
Well, next time
myself.
I go fishing with Josh Beckett, you're invited.
I would love to talk politics with Beckett. Some brewskis and politics. I'd sit at Andy Hart's boat.
Be a great
pound
show.
Down some Amstel Light. Absolutely. Of course I would.
That would be a great show.
Me, Andy Hart, Josh Beckett on the boat. I agree.
I remember, you know the guy TJ Simers out in LA?
Of course.
Yeah, so he's the guy that he asked
LA Times writer, right?
Crazy, tough question. Like, is this thing,
he's
right?
He's a journalist.
No, but
learned something
it's a thing. It's like his, like, I'm going to ask in front of everybody, I'm going to ask these really uncomfortable questions. So when Beckett was traded to the Dodgers, they were in Colorado. So I think I was on a road trip. I stopped in Colorado because it was a big deal that these guys were in Colorado. It was the first time he's going to be interviewed. And so Sean McAdam and myself are the only Boston people there. So after he pitches, this guy's grilling. Hey, like a lot of people, he literally said, like a lot of people say, you're an a-hole, Josh Beckett. Why do you say that? And he goes, hey, no, listen, like a lot of people like me. Like, Sean, like you like me, right? And there's like this 10-second pause. It was the best soundbite of
all
time.
And what'd he say?
He's like, yeah, sure.
Sean McAdam back in the WI family, by the
way.
Yeah, welcome. Red Sox pregame.
Open arm.
Saw him a couple weeks ago.
Speaking of the WI.
Shout him sit in today for Wiggy. Could have been like the old school baseball show. Bringing Buck.
Those are the Buck hosting?
I can't believe Rob described the show to me that Buck was actually hosting.
He was
in charge of the show.
I didn't need to describe
Buck,
the show. That
Rob. McAdam, Lou.
Lou, yeah.
Was there someone else?
No, that was
four voices.
How many do you want?
Thanks, Buck.
Four full-time voices. That's a busy show.
There was a lot of baseball to break down back then.
A lot of baseball.
Speaking of the WEI family, before we get on to the Celtics, I do want to once again make a plea to all our listeners. We have a lot of them. We have a lot of loyal followers. Team Ream, all
Team
of
Ream,
them.
Baby.
Okay.
T-shirts forthcoming.
A Bradfoe Show T-shirt to the first person who tweets a picture of Kerosene Ken Laird at the beach at Cranes Beach. He'll be at Cranes Beach at Ipswich.
Is he there already?
I don't know. I haven't got confirmation yet. He'll be at Cranes Beach in Ipswich. Take a picture of him. Tweet. First person to do that gets a T-shirt.
Ken definitely wears the sunscreen on his head and doesn't rub it.
I mean, I feel like if it might become my new Twitter avatar.
What, Ken Laird at the beach?
At Ken Laird
spotted.
At the beach. It might become my new Twitter account, Ken Laird at the beach.
I sense it coming. 617-779-7937. Coming up next, maybe hear more awful Mark James Sober. We did not spend enough time just ripping him for Brad Little. That is terrible. Not even creative.
Well, how are you going to?
I don't understand.
How are you going to rip him? Like it's dumb.
It's the worst. But I expect a little more creativity at this point from Mark James. That is just giving it up. That is, as I mentioned, the white flag of nicknames. But coming up next, Rob, I want Celtics fans to look inward. Enough of this complaining, this vetching. How come Irvin doesn't want to stay here? How come Horford doesn't want to stay here? How come nobody wants to sign here? Well, why? Why is this happening? Why don't people want to play here? It's time for us to ask the hard questions, which we will do next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.